is the Lord. Amen. You that are here at 10 o'clock are interested in the Word of God, and I'm thankful for you. It's fun. It's exciting. It's just exhilarating to share the Word of God with people. And so I'm going to talk on a very extremely important subject this morning that a lot of people don't think is a very extremely important subject this morning. A lot of people will just say, well, what's that? What's that? And I'm not talking about the details of it all, where you have to go to the university and learn all of these things in your biology class and your geology class, and where they slip unbelief into the unwary denominational and even Pentecostal sometimes student. I've seen Pentecostal students go to the university and backslide. They have asked me if they should, before they go, take a course in philosophy, and I said, no, you're not ready. You only received the Holy Ghost a little while ago. You are not ready for that bombardment. You get yourself established in the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God, and then we'll see about it. Well, he went anyway. He backslid and he died of AIDS. So, let's be careful. Let's take the Word of God very seriously. You may not think this is an important subject, but let me tell you, it is very, 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 very extremely, extremely, extremely important, and that is the subject of evolution. Evolution defies the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Evolution defies the existence of God. Yeah, maybe you've heard different varieties of it, but you get down to the basic fundamental doctrine or theory, and I don't even give it credit for being a theory. A theory at least has some principle to it. But evolution is just, well, we don't believe in God, so we got to come up with something. Bang! That's what happened. Isn't that silly? Isn't that uneducated? Isn't that unintelligent? To say that everything began from bang. Big bang. Here it is. Should we call each other Brother Bang, Sister Bang? How are you? Bang, bang, bang. Isn't that silly? Isn't it foolish? Well, I'm not here to make fun of people. But the devil has instilled this doctrine in a lot of people that it should not be in. And people say, I believe in God and evolution. I've had a geology teacher tell me that. I believe in God and evolution. And I said, you cannot believe in God and evolution. And I'll tell you one thing for certain. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ and evolution, because he didn't believe in it. Hallelujah. I feel like a strong belief in creation is absolutely essential to faith in Jesus. Do you know why? Because they're in competition with Jesus, and Jesus just happens to be the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Praise God. What did the early church believe when they were being persecuted from healing a man? It says they were whipped and so on. Then it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, this is the early church, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, the first thing they said in their prayer was, Lord, thou art God. That's Jesus. He's the Lord, you know. Right? He's the Lord. Lord Jesus, thou art God. In other words, Jesus, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. In other words, they acknowledged, they recognized, they applauded creation, not evolution. Creation. Praise God. Everybody say creation. Amen. So there's the opening scripture. Lord, thou art God. You made heaven, you made earth, you made the sea, and you made everything that's in them. Let's hear from Almighty God. Verse 1, chapter 1 of the first book of the Holy Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the fact that God created all things is reiterated throughout the Holy Scriptures. Dozens of times, the Old Testament establishes Jehovah God as the creator. And we learn in the Bible that this Jehovah God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here, for example, Isaiah 45:12. I have made the earth. I created man upon it. Even my hands, I stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts, sun, moon, stars, have I commanded. Now, the Bible teaches in Genesis 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, and God said, let there be light, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. I think that creation is definitely established in the Holy Scriptures, and if people are reading other books above the Scripture, then you're going to hear something else. But read the Scripture. Read the Scripture. This one pastor on the radio this morning was just so sad that the Scriptures are not being held up. You know why people don't read the Bible? They reject it. You know why they reject it? Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. That's their excuse for not reading it. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. And they don't like a church or a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle or a preacher who preaches the truth from the Word of God. That's not what they want. They want to hear how to solve their problems with God or without God. Just get my problem solved and I'll be okay. You can have your problem solved and not go to heaven. You can get your car paid for. That's a big problem. Your payments. You lost your job. You can get your car paid for and still not go to heaven. You know, in other words, your problems are solved, but you don't make it. You must be born again to go to heaven. That's good doctrine. So the Bible teaches God said, God said. And by the way, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. You can have a bucket of water and throw some rocks in it and say, this bucket contains rocks. This doesn't just contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Thank God. Have you got your Bible? Hold it up and wave it before the Lord and thank Him for the Word of God. Amen. Thank Him for the Word of God. It's good to see all those Bibles here this morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. You know, the authority of Scriptures has been questioned by men. Men who are wise in their own conceit. Romans 12:16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. Really now, who did write the Bible? I'm just giving you some preliminary marks before I start talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Who did write the Bible? Just simply, bad men would never write a book so good. So you know that bad men didn't write it. You know that the ordinary man didn't write a book because it condemns him. It says all of sin come short of the glory of God. It says we're all appointed unto death. And it says there's a judgment seat. And it says those who are not born again, living a holy life, will be judged on that day. So bad men didn't write it. They wouldn't write such a good book. And men would never write a book that condemns them. And Satan didn't write the Bible because he wouldn't talk about his own doom. He would expose himself. So who wrote the Bible? God wrote the Bible. God, it's a supernatural book. That's why it has survived all the storms and bombardment against it, because it's the Word of God, the living Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Bible is the Word of God. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, you wonder how Moses could have written about creation. Who could write about creation? It has to be God. He's the only one that was there. He's the only one that was there. So we either have to believe him or fall for this evolution lie. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And not too many people like to be reproved. Not too many people love doctrine. Not too many people love to be corrected. Not too many people like instruction in righteousness. No, no, not too many people like that. And so that's why they reject the Bible, because it doesn't contradict itself. It contradicts them, and they don't like that. And so they come up with other doctrines and trying to circumvent the Word of God. Amen. So, but we are strongly warned not to add to the Holy Scriptures, nor to delete from the Holy Scriptures. Listen to, and some people say, well, that's the book of Revelation. I beg your pardon. A lot of people read that in the book. That shows they haven't read their Bible. And they'll say, no, no, that's just the book of Revelation you can't add to. That's just the book of Revelation that you can't diminish from. That's the only book that you can't do that to, because they read that verse in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, right toward the end of the book. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, listen. If you think that that's talking about the book of Revelation, you are right. That's what it's talking about. He said, this book. But listen to the rest of the Bible. Jesus talked about the things that were written of him in the law, in the Psalms, and in the prophets. Or the law, prophets, and Psalms. He talked about those things. We should be interested in those things that Jesus was interested in. Huh? How many would like to be interested in everything Jesus is interested in? Amen. How many like not to be interested in what he's not interested in? Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I'd like to be interested in righteousness and hate iniquity. Amen. Okay, so I said we're sternly warned not to add or subtract from the Holy Scriptures. Now, let's look at the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. I find verses in all three of those Old Testament categories of Scripture that Jesus divided that way. Deuteronomy 4:2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Praise the Lord. So there you have it in the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's the law. That's the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible, constituting one book, which is called the law. And then you have the prophets, and then you have the Psalms. Jesus gave us these categories himself. So, let's receive them. Hallelujah. Okay, that's the law. That's the law. Now, Proverbs. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Ooh. Psalms. I added the Proverbs. Now there's Psalms. Forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven. Don't mess with that which God has established, right? Jeremiah, here's the prophets. And David was a prophet too when he wrote in the Psalms. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. And then we have the book of Revelation that we should not add or take away. Amen. Okay, that's my preliminary remarks. I want to establish briefly again that the Bible is the Word of God. This really is the only book that you can trust. Amen. Now, into what I want to say this morning. The Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ in person. He establishes that in his teaching. He met Jesus Christ in person. Last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ in person. Jesus appeared to Saul. His name was Saul, and then turned to Paul. God changed it to Paul. When Jesus appeared to Paul, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Now, Paul didn't know Jesus. He was just preaching against Jesus. He believed in Jehovah. He believed that Jehovah was God. And that was the national name of the God of the Jews, Jehovah. Praise the Lord. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, and Jehovah said, and Almighty God said, and he said, "I am Jesus." I love that. I am Jesus. And if you've only met God this morning, you need to meet Jesus. He is the one and only true God. Praise God. Amen. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, that word, "Who art thou, Lord," is, Paul was asking, who art thou? Kurios. That's the Greek word. Kurios. And that means supreme in authority. That means the controller. That means number one, doesn't it? He's supreme in authority. And from the moment that the Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ outside the town of Damascus, Paul understood from that time forward that Jesus was God in the flesh. And Paul reflects this in his epistles. And Paul later wrote about Jesus. Let me read an interesting one. Colossians 1, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Talking about Jesus, he said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Paul ought to have known, because he was under the power of darkness. "And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Praise God. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. What does that mean? That means he preceded Adam. We know that John the Baptist came, and though Jesus was by birth in this world a few months older than Jesus, yet he said, "He's preferred before me because he was before me." So he is the firstborn of every creature. And then it says, "For by him," that's Jesus, "were all things created." Everything. Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything that's visible, everything that's invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And listen to this, "And he is before all things." Jesus is before all things. And by him, all things consist. You've heard me say it. If Jesus withdrew his word, this pulpit would disintegrate. This pulpit is held together by his word. We think these pillars are holding this building up. His word is holding this building up. If he withdrew his word, those pillars would, and the ceiling would come in, we'd all be disintegrated also. If he withdrew his word. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, John, the Apostle John, said this about Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Listen now, he's talking about Jesus. All things were made by him, one person. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing. Jesus is number one. He is first. If you're having trouble believing this with your minuscule intellect, just turn your faith loose. Believe it because God said it. Even if you don't understand it, believe it. And when you believe, the understanding will continually develop, and you will understand it better and better. But just believe me. Believe this preacher this morning when he says all things were made by him. Because it's not original with me. I'm not plagiarizing John. Hello? No way. "And without him was not anything made that was made." So believe this preacher. I'm quoting John the Apostle. I'm quoting the Holy Bible. All right. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him." This man that came into the world came to a world that he created. Those hills that he walked and maybe puffed for breath, he created. That water that quenched his thirst, he created. He created all things, everything. Praise God. But it says the world knew him not. The world of people knew him not. We're not talking about terra firma. We're talking about the world of people. They knew him not. But the terra firma, but the elements that he created knew him as their master and obeyed his every command. Isn't it something that the rocks, the lakes, the mountains, the oceans, the seas are not rebellious toward God? It's we human beings that rebel against God. We rebel against his word, and God gave us the freedom to do that. All right? So, the elements that he created knew him as their master, and they obeyed his every command. In other words, the elements knew their creator. Do you remember the beautiful song that Sister Story sang during the Sunday school weekend of special church services called That's Him? That's Him. If you weren't here for that song, oh, I wish you'd come back and sing it again. I don't know if we have it taped or not. It would really be a good song to read this morning. Let me read it. You see, are you following me? The creation knew the voice of their master. The elements that he created knew the voice of their master, and they obeyed him. The song is entitled, That's Him. And she sang it so beautifully. A tender blade of grass so green, crushed in the footprints of the Nazarene, sprang back and waved a message to a bird on the wing. That's him. Whew. In a mighty old river in the noonday sun, a prophet kept crying, I tell you, he's the one. A voice out of heaven said, I'm pleased with my son. That's him. Angry waves splashing everywhere. He's asleep in the boat. Does he even care? We're all so afraid. He just keeps lying there. Then he raised his hands above his head and said, peace be still. And the waters fled. A wave tapped the wind. A wave tapped the wind on the shoulder and said, shh, that's him. There'll be two at work in a field one day. One will be left, the other one called away. One falls to his knees. It's too late, he'll say, because that's him. With one foot on the sea and one on the shore, declaring the time, it will never be anymore. The trumpet will shout like never before. That's him. What a story. What a story. The birth of the Son of God into this wicked, sinful, evil world. And the creation knows him, but he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. They didn't know him. No wonder the chorus is so beautiful. That's him. He's Sharon's rose. That's him. One morning star, our morning star that glows. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's him. Praise the Lord. You're going to hear a testimony in church this morning. Wow, can't hardly wait. But no wonder the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee responded to his authoritative command. No wonder the fruitless fig tree dried up and died at the sound of his voice. No wonder the spittle moistened clay installed in the sockets of a blind man saw. No wonder water turned into wine at his request. And Ravi Zacharias said about that miracle, the conscious water saw its master and blushed. I'm just shaking here with the Holy Ghost tonight. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Say it like you love him. Say it like that name is the most precious name in the world. Jesus. 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 We're talking about you this morning. The perfect one. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Amen.
No wonder fish and bread multiplied in his hands, feeding thousands and having 12 baskets full left over.
Oh, yes.
No wonder when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the sun refused to shine. No wonder the earth did quake. No wonder the rocks rent. Earth reacted violently when her creator was so grossly mistreated. That's what I think happened. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. This is Matthew's description of that scene of Jesus' death. In twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Would you like to have been there and seen all of that? The veil of the temple rent in twain from the top to the bottom, the earth quaking, the rocks rent, the graves opened. Bodies coming out of the graves after his resurrection, up going into the holy city and appearing unto many. Listen to this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, it was seen, brother. It was seen, sister. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And we're reading about that in the inspired Word of God. And all I can say is, Jesus, truly, thou art the Son of God. Praise God. Luke says it was about the sixth hour and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, 3 hours of darkness. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he saw all these things. What would you say? If you looked around, you saw an open grave. The graves were open. And then that's Friday, and then come Sunday, you take a Sabbath day's journey and you stroll by those open graves, and maybe you got there at the right time, and a body comes out. Hi. Hello, how are you? Gee, he's risen. He has risen. I don't know how it all happened, but it says the centurion saw those things that were done. He glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that were come together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts. Brother and sister, let me encourage you when you read the Bible, put yourself right in the story. Put yourself right in the story. Maybe pretend that you are one of those bystanders, one of those observers. Put yourself in the story and see if it doesn't do something to you. I'm living in the Bible. Hallelujah. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what convinced the centurion that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. Paul says, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful. But let me read on. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Listen to this, which none of the princes of this world knew. Pilate didn't know it. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Creator. Isn't that what he's saying? They would not have crucified their own Creator. They crucified their own Savior. And whether you blame it on the Jews, and the Jews blame it on the Roman soldiers, Gentiles, forget it. Jesus was their Creator and their Redeemer, and Jesus is our Creator and he's our Redeemer. Thus saith the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. That's creation, isn't it? All the way through. And the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? Ye are my, even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And then another place. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. It's not Holy Three and it's not Holy Two. It's the Holy One. There's only been one. There is one. There never will be more than one. He's the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by name. That's the stars. By the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You cannot fathom the depths of the understanding of the Lord. You can't do it. You can build a million universities, and you can have the greatest intelligence of people, and you will never, never exhaust his understanding. Amen. And so that word Lord, he is the Lord. He is the everlasting God, the Lord. That means, and I've said this before, Jehovah. That's the self-existent or eternal one. And didn't Jesus say, I think it's in John 5:26, that he, as the Father hath life in himself, hath he also given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is God. Amen. My time is just about up. I want to rush through this end now, and I hope you get it. I hope you get it. I hope you feel like you are the most privileged people on earth to have a holy Bible. And to have the ability to read and the ability to comprehend. And you have a choice of how we spend our time. Listen to this. Please hear me this morning. I'm reading from the Bible. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I don't read anywhere else where those words are written that Jesus rejoiced. This man of sorrows who came here to suffer and bleed and die for our sins. A lot of people are depicting him today. I read it in books as a humorous man who told jokes. In fact, we had a lady that was down at this altar, and she was just laughing in the Holy Ghost. Just laughing in the Holy Ghost. And I was a little suspicious. It was a little strange. And I just kind of watched and listened. And you know what she said? Oh, what, sister? Why are you laughing like this? Oh, Jesus is telling me jokes. Do you believe that? Does anybody here believe that? Well, if anybody here believes that, whew, you're mixed up. Really mixed up. Jesus doesn't tell jokes. Read Isaiah 53. Read it for dinner. Read it for breakfast. Read it for supper. Read it before you go to bed. Read it when you get up in the morning. Get acquainted with this man of sorrows and then see why he suddenly rejoices. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Have you had the revelation of the mighty God in Christ? If you have, thank God for it. Amen. And then, after he said those beautiful words, he turned him unto his disciples. You see, when I read the Bible, I just turn. I just turn when it says, and he turned unto his disciples. And I look and I see in my dream, you know, I see all these men standing there, these 12 disciples of his. He turns to them and he says privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings, like David, like Solomon, maybe, have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. You know what he's saying? All these prophets from the Protevangelium, Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Moses wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but he never saw that. He never saw the fulfillment. He never saw the finish of the battle when Jesus cried, it is finished, on Calvary's cross. Praise God, and he set us all free. Hallelujah. He says, I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, talking about himself, and have not seen them. They have not seen me. They prophesied about me, but they have not seen me. And Jesus said that John the Baptist was a prophet, yea, indeed, and greater than any prophet. Why? Because John, the lone prophet that prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ, was the only one that saw the fulfillment of his prophecy. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He prophesied about it, and then he saw Jesus. Many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. The words proceeding from the very lips of the Lord Jesus. This is an evolution. Believe it or not, you'll make the connection after a while. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord. This is Revelation 4, 10 and 11, the last two verses. To receive glory and honor and power, listen to this, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Here's the 24 elders worshiping before the throne and saying, thou hast created all things. Don't we deserve doesn't God deserve our worship? I think that drunken man, that dope addict, that murderer, they all should be worshiping God because he created all things. That's enough right there. But go on in the book of Revelation. Let's graduate to the fifth chapter. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I, John, wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. That means freshly slain. The blood is still wet. When John saw this vision, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, and he came, this Lamb of God, this Lion of the tribe of Judah came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the throne, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, not just the song of creation. My wife heard Rabbi Zacharias on the radio again this morning, and she said he talked about creation, how God created us, how we sinned and fell, and then God transformed us. We're transformed by the power of God, and then how we're going to be translated one day. Praise God. Praise God. Well, a good outline for a sermon, Brother Rabbi. Amen. Rabbi. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. The Creator was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, that we could elucidate upon that when we read our Bibles and come to church to worship. He that is slain, worship him because he was slain. Worship him because he receives power. Worship him over his riches, his wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Take each one of those words and think about it, and prepare to worship deity when you come to church. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. I'm establishing this morning that Jesus Christ is our Creator, and he became our Redeemer. He saved us, not only created us. And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Let me conclude with this. Evolution is a lie. Some have said evolution is only another theory. I personally repeat, I don't even give it credit for that. How could it be possible to believe in Jesus and evolution? That is an absolute impossibility. You can't do it. If Jesus is the firstborn of every creature, and the Bible says so in Colossians 1:15, the firstborn of every creature, just think naturally for a minute now. Just think in the natural realm. Don't worry about the Godhead. Just think in the natural realm right now. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. And if the definition of evolution is an unfolding or process of development, formation, or growth, the development of a species, organism, or organ from its original to its present state, and if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, then how could any Christian believe in evolution? You would have to believe that Jesus developed, either from a fish or a polywog or whatever the latest theory is, and onto an ape man, and then finally, at long last, he got to his present state. If you believed in evolution, then you believe Jesus was a polywog or an ape man or something in between. If you believe in evolution, that's what you believe. You have to, because he is the firstborn of every creature. Can we stand? Worship him for the